I want you to turn to Ephesians 6. I'm not being rebellious to Paul. He asked me to read out of Ephesians 6, not because he's going to preach out of it this Sunday. Soon he will, I'm sure. But the reminder of the spiritual warfare that we are in is so key. And if you lack an understanding of this, I recommend you read through this passage every day until it does set into you. Because this is powerful, and this is what Paul's been preaching on with spiritual warfare. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And dear Lord, we lift right now Pastor Paul as he comes and shares. Lord, we pray your anointing upon him, that as he comes and speaks, that you would become more and he would become less, and that the words that you have impressed upon his heart, Lord, would pierce ours. So God, we come here today to hear from you, and we pray that you would change our lives today by what we discover and hear from you. So use your servant Paul to that end, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, as Steve said, I'm not in Ephesians 6. I'm in 2 Timothy. So if you'll turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 2, that's where we're going to fire from today in our series on spiritual warfare. Now, last week, I drew attention to the fact that Satan was a very present power in the earth. His location, his sphere of influence, his prowling throughout the earth is a very real thing, and he is ceaseless and very enthusiastic in his work. He's not somebody who gives up. He's not someone who takes a break, and he's not somebody who should be taken lightly by the Christian. He is a defeated foe in some important senses. He can't touch you if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, then you are a child of God. You're protected by God. You're inhabited by the Spirit of God. God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, and you're headed to glory. You are a saint, not a sinner. All of those things are true, but you're in his country. You're in his territory. You are a stranger and a pilgrim in this life, in this age, and you are most definitely in enemy territory. So, in that sense, you see, Satan must be somebody that we are constantly aware of. We're not afraid of him. And we're not afraid, and we would be if we met him face to face, but we're not afraid of him as far as what he can do to us. We are just wary of him because we are wise and we understand that as Christians, we don't really belong here. And I called attention last week to the fact that in Job, he picks on vulnerabilities. Some things that, because of the story of Job, you would think there was not a great deal of vulnerability there. Job had so much. Everything was going for him. But in that special case, and I'm not saying that it's a unique case, but in that special case, God allowed, you know, everything to be given up to Satan, and Satan took full advantage of that. Normally what Satan does is that he looks for our vulnerabilities. He looks for our weaknesses. He looks for chinks in the armor. He is checking on our readiness as saints in this world. You know, if you're going through enemy territory, you always have to be on the lookout for those who are going to arrest you, those who are going to spy on you, those who are going to fire on you. You have this mindset, don't you? That, you know, you need to get through this land, this period. You need to stay under the radar. I think sometimes many Christians don't have that mentality. You know, we just, our mentality is just, you know, we'll just fit in and we'll just invite the world in and we'll just be, you know, make the world feel comfortable with us. And we don't have this mentality. How can you have the mentality of a stranger and a pilgrim as an enemy in enemy territory if you are opening yourself up to the world and worldly pursuits and worldly things? So, the spiritual warfare, you see, is lessened when you don't realize that you are a soldier in enemy territory. You say, well, that doesn't feel or sound very much like warfare, because it's actually feels more comfortable. It feels okay. If the world is smiling at you and not firing at you, that's a good thing, isn't it? The problem is, of course, that you're losing the battle. You're losing the battle while the world is doing that. And this is what Satan does. But it's not just Satan that we have to be concerned about. And so I thought it would be a good idea in this place to take the attention off Satan just for a bit and put the attention on the world, world and the flesh. Because those two enemies are also very dangerous, very real enemies. And we have to have the right mindset, the right mentality in order to deal with them. And it's good to be reminded of that. So that's what this passage does in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me just read these first four verses for you. I am using the New King James Version here. The ESV translation is, I don't think, as good. It's not a bad translation, it's just not as good. And maybe I should insert here, I hope I'm not being naughty, but you know, we are considering as elders moving over to the New King James Version. Because we are, I'm constantly having to change the ESV readings from the pulpit or in the Sunday school class, and it's like, there are issues there. So that's something we might be going on to, and don't worry about it. If you've got an ESV, we'll kind of deal with that. It's not a bad translation, it's just not as accurate as we would have liked. So if you want to get ahead of the game, get a Jeremiah Study Bible, because that is New King James. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, the apostle says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Paul is very often alludes to soldiers and to armor and to warfare. He likes these metaphors, these kind of metaphors of fighting and being in battle and being a soldier and so on. And the reason that he does that is because it's an obvious metaphor. It's an obvious thing for him. Because we are in a prolonged war. A prolonged war. It starts when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. When we get out of Adam and we get into Christ, then alarms go off in Satan's headquarters. Somebody's gone over to the other camp. And from then on until the time that we breathe our last, we are in a warfare. But there's no doubt about this. Over and over again, the New Testament in particular warns us about this, and yet it is so subtle. Yes, I know if we lived in some other places in the world, we wouldn't need to be told this. We wouldn't have these kinds of sermons. We'd have different kinds of sermons because we would be well aware of the persecution that would be waiting for us out there. And yet for us in the West, we are blessed by a great amount of peace, even today. But that peace comes at a price. It comes at the price of us maybe forgetting where we are in a hostile world and what we are, soldiers of Christ. And so that's really what I want to remind us about a little bit today. And I know my time is ebbing away here, so let's get into this. In verse 3, Paul tells Timothy that he is to endure hardship. That he is to endure hardship. That is not something that people want to hear. We don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be told that my life is going to be suffused with difficulty, that I'm going to meet persecution, that I'm going to have to be a partaker of suffering. And of course, the context here is not the general suffering that people go through, although that's part of it. But this, because it's about spiritual warfare, is that suffering that may come upon us just because we are believers in Jesus Christ. And we must understand that once we're in Christ, what happens to us is under the control of our Father. And so nothing comes upon us that the Father does not permit and the Father does not give us grace for. And that is most important. Whether it is the loss of a job or sickness or disease or betrayal or bereavement or persecution or injury or loneliness or depression, financial hardship, despondency, or just the fact that our own sins get us down. These things come to us. They are part of the hardship, the suffering, the difficulty that we all share in. And that is what Paul is talking about in this particular text. He's not talking about Satan. He's talking about the hardships that come upon us as saints in this life, either because of the world or because of our own sins. So it would be, if we just had Satan to worry about, I mean, that would be more than enough. But we have two other enemies too. We have our own selves, and we have the world, the world system, the world, the world's way of doing something. And of course, we now live in the West in a very secular environment. And secularism, what it does, it takes God out of everything, and taking God out of everything, it hollows everything out. So that really existence is not very meaningful. And truth is not important anymore. And character isn't important. Morals and manners, these kinds of things, they lose their grip in a secular society. And this, you can see it all around us, the way that things have deteriorated and are deteriorating in that way. People don't know how to behave anymore. So that's what secularism does, and that message comes across to people, and they think, you know, my life is just not very interesting, and it's not meaningful, and what on earth is it all for? And the answer that secularism gives is that it's not really for anything. That in itself is something that needs to be defended against. We need to understand, as soldiers passing through a period where that message comes at us constantly, that there's a mindset that counters that. That life is not only meaningful, but it's valuable. It's valuable. That life is not this life is not all that there is. That really we are, you know, I like to use this metaphor, not maybe the best, we're on the doormat. Okay, that's where we are, we're on a doormat. The door, we're not even stepped foot into the house yet. Or C.S. Lewis put it this way, he says that, you know, imagine that life is a book and we're on the fly leaf. We're not even in the book yet. So we need to have a mentality that we're not in the book yet. We need to have a mentality that we're not in the house yet. And that guards us against what the world tells us life is about and what it consists of. We also, if we can do that, then we can face these problems, whether it's the problem of loneliness or the problem of financial difficulty or the problem of persecution or injury, when our plans are stopped in their tracks by something happening to us. When somebody that we love just goes completely astray and drains our emotion, drains our energy. That's nothing we can do about it, but it's something that we need to face. So many of these things do that to us, don't they? They come upon us and they suck the life out of us sometimes if we don't have the mentality to deal with it. How many of us have been laid low by sickness? How many of us have suffered betrayal from people that we invested a lot of trust in? Hardship. That's what this life can deal out for us. And the mentality that Paul wants us to have is the mentality of a soldier. Because soldiers have to endure hardship. Soldiers have to be part of a company that goes through the same stuff. So I've never been in the military. I tried to sign up for the military. I tried to go into the Royal Air Force. But they rejected me because of my knee, unfortunately. So There's an example of my life taking a direction I didn't want it to take. But anyway, I don't know much about serving in the military, but I do know that there's a lot of discipline. I do know that when the sergeant major comes in and hollers at you and tells you to get up, you better get up. You better be ready. You better be ready to be inspected. So there has to be that mentality, you see. And then, of course, there could be drill, and there could be marches, and there could be operations, and the rest of it. All this stuff that is hard, and most people hate it, but they have to go through it. And if they have to go through an obstacle course, or go through a minefield, or whatever it is they have to do, then that's what they have to do. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They just have to do it. If we had that kind of mentality, if I had that kind of mentality when it comes to facing life and the difficulties that life throws at us, I think I'd deal with it a lot better. So we've got to be able to have a mentality that doesn't seek for the American dream, that doesn't try to fit oneself into an advert, that doesn't expect every day to be sunny and happy and go our way. Now, I'm not saying that we should be pessimist. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we need to at least understand what life is like in this world for a Christian. We're enlisted, we're on Christ's side, which means that we're against the world and our own flesh and the devil. So that's the first thing, that we are to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We've got to be a good soldier. And this is where the spiritual armor of Ephesians 6 comes in. People like to put the emphasis on that armor, you know, the breastplate and the helmet and the shoes and so on. That's not where the emphasis is. Those are the figures that Paul uses. The emphasis is on what they signify. Okay? What they signify. The helmet of salvation is understanding that we have been saved and we're going to be saved. Let me explain those two things. We have been saved because our sins have been judicially forgiven at the court of God. We have been declared innocent by God. We cannot come into condemnation anymore. Okay? There's not going to be a tribunal where Paul Hennebry is going to come under the gaze of God and God is going to judge him and say, away with him, I never knew you. That's not going to happen because he does know me. He does know me in Jesus Christ. He does know me because he's judged my case already. Do you see? So that's salvation, but then there's another salvation. Peter uses this in 1 Peter. He uses the word this way. And that has to do with final salvation. Because, as we've said many times before, this is not it. If this was it, it would be pretty disappointing salvation, wouldn't it? You know? I mean, this is... our outward man is perishing. Our inward man is being renewed day by day. What for? What's the point in renewing the inward man if the outward man is falling to pieces? Because the outward man is going to be renewed. That's why. The body and the spirit are going to be glorified. That's the full salvation that we've been saved to. That's what's coming to us. That sure hope has already been purchased for us. So that's the helmet of salvation. Why is it on the head? Well, what Paul, I think, is trying to convey there is you've got to have this mindset, hope. Hope has got to be something you can get up with. Yes, you may face debilitating illness. Yes, you may face problems in the family. Yes, you may face persecution with your neighbors or whatever. Yes, you may face troubles at work. But you have hope. Do you see? That's real. Nobody takes that away from you. And it's the same thing with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as we'll have a look at the Ephesians 6 passage at another time, but the Word of God there is the active use of the Word of God. In other words, it's you quoting Scripture. It's you remembering Scripture. It's you applying Scripture to yourself. That's what the idea is. And why do we do that? We do that to counter the lies that are told us by the world and that we tell ourselves. And so, all of these things, these military metaphors, they come together, do you see, if we're good soldiers. We don't want to be bad soldiers. Are there any bad soldiers in Christ's army? I'm afraid there are, quite a lot of them. Quite a lot of them go missing in action. Quite a lot of them do not want to endure hardness, and they work very hard at not enduring it. And they tailor the message that they put across to people in order that they don't. The gospel is an offense, according to this book, but we make it inoffensive. Well, a gospel that is inoffensive is not the gospel, because the gospel is offensive. Not that we're offensive, but it's offensive. Why is it offensive? Because it's wrong? Because it's not good news? No, it's not that. It's offensive because people just don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like to be told that God exists. They don't want to be told that they are sinners. They don't want to be told that Jesus has dealt with their sin, but they must trust in Jesus. They don't want to be told all that stuff. They want to be told that they're the captain of their own ship. They can do whatever they want. They can sleep around. They can lie. They can even be good people if they choose to be. But it's all about them and their choices. And God, that superstition, as they think, just gets in the way of enjoying life. That's why the gospel is an offense, and we've got to cut through that, you see, in our proclamation of the truth. That's a lie. You are not in command of your own life, and the older you get, the more you'll see that that's the truth. Now, being a good soldier, if we're a good soldier, we need to understand that we're in an army, or we're in an air force, or we're in a navy. We're in a fighting outfit. That's what kind of we're for. Okay? I know that there's something we've got to qualify here, but that's what we're for. It's military. And because it's military, it demands a particular outlook. It demands that outlook is continually revised and thought through and kept up. There has to be a readiness to scramble. Can you imagine that, you know, an officer comes in to a barracks and everybody's laying around and reading magazines and doing, you know, playing cards and doing what they're doing, and he gets them to scramble because we have to get out there because there's an emergency, and they just carry on doing their own thing, you know, just enjoying themselves and not taking him seriously at all. That wouldn't be a trained army. That's not a picture of a soldiers that are ready. It's not even a picture of soldiers who are soldiers. If you are a soldier, you have been trained for readiness. You have been trained to get ready at a moment's notice. To be on alert. And you can only do that by the repetition of a certain kind of message that has been bored into your mind. This is what it's about. This is what you are now. This has been ingrained in you by your training, which is why there are drills and why there's continual discipline, and this is why you have to shine your shoes, and this is why you have to iron your pants, and this is why you have to go on ops, and you have to do all of these other things. Whether there's a war on or not, you just have to keep that mentality, that readiness. Well, what's Paul trying to convey here? I mean, here it was the Roman soldiers, and of course they could be called out at any time because of a disturbance or because of, some general or something wanted them over here to fight a bunch of people in a certain area. They had to be ready to go, and they had to be ready to fight. What's Paul trying to put across? Why is the Christian life like that? Because you and I should have the same kind of readiness as a soldier to jump into the fray. And we can't do that if we are not drilling ourselves, and we refuse to be taught, and we refuse to think about who we are in Christ. I've talked about the Pilgrim's Progress, and we're trying to teach people this book. This book, The Pilgrim's Progress, was on the shelf of cottagers and farmers and lay people in the time of Bunyan, in the Puritan era. Most Puritan homes would have the Bible, and they would have Fox's Book of Martyrs on their shelves. Can't get people to read Fox's Book of Martyrs today. In fact, you can't get Christians to read their Bibles today. You can't get them to listen to the Word of God preached in an unalloyed way. They have to be constantly told that God has this for them, and God has that for them, and God affirms them, and God wants to bless them, and God wants to... That's not the way soldiers are trained. You don't have the sergeant major coming in and telling people how wonderful they are and what great things are going to happen to them today. Because that's not what makes a good soldier. We have not really been training soldiers in our churches. Verse 4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. What does this tell us? That we are engaged in warfare. Well, I don't like that. I don't want to be told that. Well, you can choose, you can go to a place, to a church, where you won't be told that. That's your choice. Doesn't stop the fact that you're still in it, does it? Doesn't change anything. It might make you, like, you know, go missing in action a bit more than you would otherwise, but it doesn't stop the reality. The reality is that you're in this continual warfare. Now, let me at least say something that qualifies that and lessens the impact somewhat of that. We're in a continual warfare, but we are not in a constant battle. Okay? No soldier's in a constant battle. They get called to the battlefield, but then, you know, they get called back. Providing they come back. And they spend time in the barracks, and they spend time, at the different places that they are called to, doing different jobs, doing different things, not seeing any battle. But they have to have that battle readiness, do you see? And it's the same thing for you. And it's the same thing for me. You endure hardness, but hardness doesn't meet you generally every day. Now, for some of us, it might. But we have those times of intense battle. We have those times where things are contrary to us. Those times where things are so difficult. I'm going to shut up here. But we have those times of intensity and pain. We have these times where we lose faith sometimes. We lose sight of God because of our troubles. We have these troubles and these difficulties that we go through. We get engaged in this battle. And in order to be able to do that in those times, we need to not be entangled with this world's affairs. We need to not have the mentality of this world that says, this shouldn't happen to me. We need to tell ourselves, yes, this is happening. Yes, it's very unpleasant. Yes, it's difficult. And yes, I wish God would act now, but he doesn't seem to be acting now. But I've got to believe that God's going through this with me. That there's purpose and there's meaning for this. That is the mentality of a Christian soldier. I'm in this battle now, I'm in this fray now, and it's lasting much longer than I want it to last. But we know that that is something that God has called us to, and if we have the world's mindset, and we believe the world's lies, and it's so easy to do it, then we're not going to make it very well. We're going to get disgruntled, we're going to get depressed, we're going to get angry at God, we're going to want to give up, we want to blame everything else but ourselves, we're going to get discontented. But the same Paul that wrote 2 Timothy 2:4 also wrote, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, I need to stop here, but this is just a reminder of the fact that spiritual warfare is not in the being in the battle all the time, but it is a call to endure hardship. That means there's an expectation that there will be hardship. That means when we're in the hardship, we shouldn't be surprised by it. It means that we have to have the mentality of a soldier, not the mentality of somebody who's not enlisted. And once we're in the battle, we're committed to the battle. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of Christ, our captain. Finally, this. And this is how we conclude. We do not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So we need to be focused on pleasing Christ. We best please Christ in those times where it feels hard to please him, where it's difficult to please him. We most glorify God in those times where it's difficult to trust him. Do you see that? Where it's easy to trust, well, we're just, you know, what are we doing? There's nothing commendable about that. But if we feel like God is not paying attention, if we feel like we're deserted, if it feels like God's being unfair, if it feels as though, you know, God's not given us the wherewithal to get through what we're going through. And it often feels like that when we're in the midst of battle. That's when we glorify God, when we trust him. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I Trust him. That's the mentality that we need to have. Why? Because whether we like it or not, we have been enlisted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us this new understanding of our call to be a spiritual soldier. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare. And the weapons of our warfare, Lord, are very, very contrary to the weapons of an ordinary soldier. The weapons are the Word of God, obedience to the Bible, sanctification, prayer, trust in you despite all appearances. Father, this is what glorifies us, understanding, Lord, that by your grace and by your strength and by your might, we will prevail. Bless this church and its ministry. Bless each individual, particularly those, Lord, who are going through difficulty right now. And I know, Father, there are some people that are going through the battle right now. Bless them as they persevere and as they face their trials. In Jesus' name, amen.